Okay, starting here at the bottom of Vav and Bet, 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Rabbanan, Rachel she'el dam min eiz, ve'eiz she'el dam min Rachel p'tura min ha'bechora. This we should be familiar with, we've quoted it a number of times, which is that if a ewe has a goat, or a goat has a ewe, then p'tura min ha'bechora, that all assumes that there's nothing in common between them. Yesh bo miktzat simanim, if there is something that makes them look similar, chayevet, then they are chayevet. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ad Shehei Roshov Rubo Dome Liimo. It has to be that the head and the robe of the animal are similar to the mother. So that's a given. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion, the Gabe Bechora. Yibailuhu, the Achila, Mibai Rabbi Shimon Roshov Rubo Lo. Does that have application by eating, by Achila? Is the kosher animal also determined by this same framework? Lenyan Bechora Aktiv. The reason that he says it by Bechora is because it says Ach Bechor Shor. Achehu, Shor of Bechoro Shor. The limud that we saw before. That there's a demand that the mother and the child have similarity between them. How far that similarity goes, that's a question. But at least according to Rabbi Shimon, that similarity's got to go until Rosh Ovrubo. But we have a Gzerat HaKatuv, we have a Pasuk that tells us that it must be the case. About the Achila. The only limud that we have by Achila is Gamalhu, Damar Chorvano Dasir. The only thing that's a sur is a Gamal. Haishtane, mi Gamal. Shapir Dami. So whatever you have here is not a Gamal. O Dilma Aloshna. Or maybe it makes no difference. This para that gives birth to a Gamal, is that Gamal not a Gamal like we describe in the Torah? And since it's not a Gamal like the Torah, therefore it's kasher and you can eat it. Or do we say no? He says that you need Rosh Rubo. Rosh Rubo means even by kosher animals. You want to have a parat, have something that you can eat. It's got to be something that is domeh, Rosh Rubo, to its mother. Tashma. So let's try to prove it from the following. Behemat Torah, she'el dam min behemat me'ah, asur be'achila. Vim domeh Rosh Rubo limo, chayav be'bechora. Who talks about Rosh Rubo? Rosh Rubo is a din in Rabbi Shimon. And so you see that this braita divides it up. It says the latter half is im domer rosho rubo limo chayav bechorah. That we already heard from Rabbi Shimon. But the first half of the braita says veimat Torah she'adam min veimat me'as sur be'achila. So you see here that the braita is mixing up achila and bechorah, and it's authored by Rabbi Shimon. So it seems like here that the din should be the same. Shema mina ala achila nami boy. Sounds like the same din applies both to achila as it does to bechorah. And you would read the braita as saying, when it comes to eating, if they're not alike at all, they're dissimilar, completely dissimilar, asur b'achila. If they have roshom v'rubo, just like Rebbe Chora, they're okay, so too by achila. Shramina l'achila v'nami, by Rebbe Shimon roshom v'rubo. There we see that achila also has that same threshold of roshom v'rubo. Mar says, lo. Rebbe Chora da'afka dekanami, it makes sense, because of the braita. The kashavka al-achila b'kim le'ya b'chor. Why did the braita change in midstream? It changes from achila over to b'chor. In Achila, it would be enough that it has some similarity. You wouldn't need to get to the threshold of Rosh Ovirubo. The Gemara says, "Olam emelucha l'achila nami boy ubechora yitzrich." And so, why did you bring it down as bechora? Because I need that. Salkadat gamin olviktiv ach bechor shor ajehu shor ubechoro shor velo tizki lebe Rosh Ovirubo. I would talk by bechora because of the demand of the pasuk that the shor be like its mother. That would make a demand, an absolute demand, that there be no dispensations, there be no exceptions to the rule. It have to be exactly alike. Kamash Balon, that Rosh Ovirubo is sufficient. So the reason it's switched over to Bechorah is to teach us the Chiddush by Bechorah, but the same would be true by Achila. But what we see from here is it's not clear how to read that Braita. You could read the Braita either way. I mean, the Gemara wants to be medayik out of the fact that it switched from Achila to Bechorah, that the din's only applicable by Bechorah. But it says maybe not. Maybe the din is also applicable by both of them. The reason he picked Bechorah is because there's a bigger Chiddush there. Bigger Chiddush is that I would have thought Bechorah demands absolute similarity. Along comes Rav Shimon and says, no, Rosh Ovirubo. So now we have back to square one, which is we don't know whether Rav Shimon applies it to Achila. So Tashma. Ach et zeh lo tochlu mimalei agira umefrisei aparza. Zeh. I ata ochel, aval ata ochel abba b'siman echad. These you can't eat, but you can eat something that comes with siman echad. Now the siman echad that we're talking about here is not siman echad like we're talking about for kashrut, the kaneh, the veshet. Siman echad means some similarities. Means not all similarities, but some similarities. Eze zeh zeh abba b'siman echad. Who is this item, or what is this case where it's similar in one thing? Zitamei shenolad min ha'tor, viburo min ha'tor. This is a offspring that looks like a tamei, born to a tahor, mother and father. So yachol afilu iburo min atamei, I would think that even if it was a mixed breed between atamei and atohor, I would have thought even in that case it should be okay to eat. Tamalomar sek vasim vese izim. Ache aviv keves vimo kibsa divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, we're dashing out the pasuk, but it could have said keves and ace. The fact that it says kisavim and izim in the plural shows you that it must be the plural, meaning that its mother and its father must be kasherim, has to be animals that are tahor. So Rabbi Yeshua says both parents have to be tahor, but we agree that if once both parents are tahor, the offspring, which is called a tamei, is kosher to eat. Rabbi Elazar omer lo bakatub latir et amutar. So this is zeh tamei hanolad min hatahor viburo min hatamei. So since it says, or in the pasuk says it twice, that comes to tell us that even a tamei, which is a product of a mixed breed of a tahor and a tamei, oh, I know ela iburo min hatahor, or maybe it's only something that is from a single breed, meaning that they're both tahorim, parents are both kasherim. Tamal omar sure. Sek savim v'se izim. So it uses the se twice. Mikol makom. Doesn't matter. No matter what, it can be kasher.
Even
but yet, is a tamei. So over here you have machlokes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. They both agree that if it's a tamei, that's a product of a tahor and a tahor, that is kasher to eat. No problem. The question that they argue about is whether you have, when your parents are, the mother is tahor and the father is tamei. So the father is tamei, father is tahor. Yeshua says no go because it needs to be both tahor. You need kvasim and hizim. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says no. It says se means mikol makom. Whatever the se is, however we got this se, that's fine. So this se came as a product of a tamei and a tahor, and that's fine. So now Gemara says, wait a minute, it's kari le tamei. Wait, they're calling this offspring, they're calling this result tamei, ki Rabbi Shimon. This braita says, which is zehaba b'siman echad, something that comes that has some similarities between them, that's a tamei hanolod min hatahor. Now, who calls the product of something that comes from a tahor tamei? That's Rabbi Shimon. Because according to the Chachamim, we had that in our Mishnah, haba min hatahor, tahor. Haba min hatamei, tamei. It's irrelevant if there's any similarities between them. There is no need for them to be similar whatsoever. So the fact here that you require some similarity, number one, and number two, it's called a tamei, that's shitat Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says there's a problem, adshei rusho brubo, by Bechora. Over here he seems to say, siman achad is sufficient. So you call it tamei like Rabbi Shimon, and number two is you're saying that it only requires siman achad. Gemara says, no. Haitana sarva le kivatei bechado. O poligalei bechado. He holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's called a tamei. Poligalei bechado, he argues on him the fact that it's not rosho v'rubo. Shimon would have said rosho v'rubo, but this not holds it. It's enough that it has siman echad. Ve'ika de makshe o motiv. There's some that posited this question a little different. They said, wait a minute. Ibaro min atamei mi abro. Wait, how could it be that this offspring was produced from a tamei and a tahor? You can't create such an offspring from kosher and non-kosher animals, mixed breeding. Velo gasa min a daka, velo daka min a gasa, not large animals with small, small with large. Velo beima min a chaya, not domesticated with wild. Velo chaya min a beima. Chutz, the exception to that rule is Rabbi Elazar machlokuto, which we bumped into in chulin and oto ve'et beno. Rabbi Elazar were the ones who say that a koi is the offspring of a tayish and a tzviya. So there they think that you can have this mixed breed between a chaya and a behema that produces a live offspring. But other than that, nobody thinks that you can have a chaya and a behema come together. Now, Vamar Rabbi Yirmiya, the aber mikalot ben para. The case here is, it's an interesting case, the para had an unusual offspring, a kalot. Kalot is something that doesn't have split hooves. So a para already had this offspring that doesn't exactly look like a para. And then that offspring, that kalot, mates with a para. So now you get together, and they produce a bechor. Or they produce an animal, an offspring. Valibad Rabbi Shimon Kamar. And it's according to Rabbi Shimon. For Kamar, and we say, Valatau chelabah b'siman achad. Now this is clearly again according to Rabbi Shimon, because he's calling the father, or the mother, whoever this kalut ben para is, the father, he's calling him a tameh. According to the Chachamim, you don't require any similarities whatsoever. So it's only according to Rabbi Shimon that you would even define it as being something that is tamei. So here, where you have something that's called tamei, yet is mutar ba'achila, as long as there's some siman echad, as long as there's some commonality between them. So you see that it has to be v'alibed Rabbi Shimon the kamar v'kamar v'alata uchel ba'bab siman echad. So again, you have somebody who is definitely in the position of Rabbi Shimon because they're using the term tamei, but yet they're not requiring roshol v'rubo. So the Gemara answers the same way again. This is the same flow the Gemara is saying. This is a different way of positing the question, but the answer again is that Haitana Sabrle Kevate Bechado, Polegle Bechado. He argues with one and agrees with the other, meaning that he argues on the fact that you require Rosh Rubo, but he agrees with the fact that this is called Tomei. That you can't just, like the Chachamim, say everything's fine. Haba min haTahor is Tahor and nothing to worry about. Memro, the Rabbi Elezer Savar, Zevze Gorei Mutar, Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Zevze Gorei Masur. So going back to the Braita, we had a machloka between them. We said they both agreed that if both parents were kasher and you produce this funny-looking offspring that looks like a tameh, everybody agrees that's fine. The only question was, when it comes, the mother was a tahor and the father was a tameh. But the implications from that are, the father, who's a tameh, comes in, impregnates this tahor mother. So remember, there was a sarvazev exergurim mutar, and Rabbi Shua sarvazev exergurim masur. And didn't we have just the opposite opinions by them? So Rabbi Shua says that that's problematic when you have the mixed breed. Rabbi Shua says it's kasher, it's fine. So Rabbi Shua says it's problematic. He says that Zevzeh Gorim must be asur because the father being Tameh causes you the problem. Rabbi Lezer says that since the offspring is kasher, must be that he believes Zevzeh Gorim is mutar, and therefore the father who's Tameh is not going to cause us a problem over here. So when it says, how can you say this? We've heard their opinions just the opposite. Vlad Trefa, the offspring of a Trefa. The mother is a Trefa, but the father is a Tamim. So here they're mating, and then they produce a Vlad, an offspring. You're not allowed to bring that on the Mizbeach, because Zev Zegoreim is Asur. Rabbi Shua Mer, you're that you're allowed to bring to the Mizbeach, because Zev Zeh Goreim is Mutar, which is just the opposite of what you saw in their opinions. Gemara says, Ba'alma, you're right. Sav Rebbe Lezer, Zev Zeh Goreim Asur. Everywhere else in Shas, Rebbe Lezer is going to hold, Zev Zeh Goreim is Asur. Bishani Hocho, here it's different. Im Kein Yichtov Kra, Sek Savim V'izim. Se, V'se, Lamali. The fact that he uses the word Se twice, where does it come? Shomina, Se Mikom Akom. I have a Gzeirot HaKatuv here that tells me to ignore Zev Zeh Goreim in this case. Rabbi Yeshua Malacha ba'alma zev zeh goreim mutar. Everywhere else in Shas zev zeh goreim is mutar. Ba'ocha im kein lechtov kra shor kesev eiz. Why is it using it in the plural? Because it says kesev eiz ksavim v'izim lomoli. Why in the plural form is it written? Shvaminat sheyaviv keves v'imo kibsa. So again, I've exerted a kaduv that takes it away from my normal opinion. Tashma. So here's our last try, trying to figure out whether Rabbi Shimon thinks that by achila it applies or not, Rosh Rubo. And here we have an explicit braita. Shimon Omer, Gamal, Gamal, Shnei Piyamim. It says Gamal twice, once in Parshat Shmini, once in Parshat Re'ei. Echad Gamal Unuad Mina Gamal. That's a Gamal was born to a Gamal. Echad Gamal Hanulayd Mina Para. That includes a Gamal that's born to a Para. Im Rosho Verubo Domelimo Mutar Ba'achila. Explicit here, the Rabbi Shimon thinks that Rosho Verubo Domelimo is Mutar Ba'achila. Shmamina La'achila Nami by Rabbi Shimon Rosho Verubo Shmamina. So you see from this, the Rabbi Shimon's opinion extends even into Rosho Verubo Ba'achila. Remember yesterday we had the machloket between Gamal Tamei who Tamei Be'in Tamei Anulai Min HaTohar Tamei. That was the opinion of the Chachamim Tohar. Rabbi Shimon said Gamal Gamal Shnei Pamim to tell you that even a Gamal that is born into a kosher animal is problematic. And that's why over here, the Gemara, every time we find a braika that says it's tameh, when it's a gamal that is born to, or a tameh that's born to a tahor, he calls it tameh, that's shittat Rabbi Shimon. So that's why on all these braika, we try to impose shittat Rabbi Shimon there and say, look, by achila, that's not the case, he does not require Rosh HaBerubal. And then the Gemara rejects it every time, saying, ah, oh, it's a different author, the braika holds like him in this, not like that. All these answers. Finally, we have a braika that says it explicitly. Rav Shimon says, you need Rosh HaBerubo Ba'achila. Once you've done that, you can go back and read all these braitot, accepting Rabbi Shimon as either the author of the braitot, if it's a case where Rosh HaBerubo, or in the case where we have the braitot that are disagree with that position, Rabbi Shimon, we're going to have to say, Rabbi Shimon can't be the author of these mishnayot, because we see that he does require Rosh HaBerubo Ba'achila in the end. And you could argue, or you could try to explain, that that means Siman Echad means Rosh Overubo. Or over there, we could say that there's a Tana who is arguing, that the Tana believes, holds like him in one area, does not hold like him in the other area. Right now, next piece. Sheyotze min ha-tamei tamei, yotze min ha-tor ha-tor. Ba-minei Rav Sheshet, mei raglaim shel chamor mahu. Drinking the urine of a chamor, what is the din? V'tibai desusim gamalim. Why is he only asking about the urine of a donkey? What about a horse and a gamal? By susim gmalim, he has no question about it because it's clear. By susim gmalim, it's not cloudy. The water that comes out is see-through, it's clear. Therefore, it's not like milk. Because we see the animal drinks, and we see the animal urinates. And the urination that he has is very similar to what he drank. So we assume a liquid went in, liquid came out, you can drink it, no question. That when the chamor expels its urine, is discolored, it's cloudy, it's not exactly like the water that it drank. And therefore it looks a lot like milk. Was it processed inside the animal? Because you see this change in the liquid, that means that it took in the liquid it drank, and now it's expelling something that is a derivative of its body. Like milk, that is a derivative of the body, so too this is a derivative of the body. Odilma, mayo, mayo nofuk. Bahidakiri, havla de bisro. Fact is that water went in, water went out. Why is the urine then not the same color, not the same consistency as that one which went in? That's because of the heat of the chamor. The chamor, the heat of its body causes the discoloration of the water, causes that problem. But not that he processed the liquids, and now what's coming out is something different. That's the question that's being asked. Amar lo Rav Sheshet Tanitua, it's our Mishnah. He would say, min hatamei, tamei. He would say, min hatahor, tahor. What it doesn't say is, mitamei lo kamar. Doesn't say from the tamei, ela min hatamei. Something that is a product of the tamei. Now, had it just written mitamei, we would have thought it meant directly from the body of the tamei. It has to come, it has to be something that is being expelled from its body. And you're right, min tamei means anything that is expelled from the body. Now, grammatically, it really makes no difference. Like we do this in the Kaddish every year by Seret Yimei Tshuva. We switch from min kol birchata to mi kol birchata. And nobody says that there's a difference in the meaning there. And it's just a way to contract the words min kol to mi kol. So it's over here. Min tamei is also mi tamei. From the tamei is the same thing. But here the Gemara is looking this as being a distinction. And that if it had written mi tamei, we would have thought only something that came directly from the body. That was a piece of the body that was being expelled. Once you say min tamei, means anything that the body expels is problematic. So since it doesn't say mitamei, ela min hatamei, v'haninami, mina de tameihu. Over here, this is something that is being expelled by the body of the tamei, and therefore it's problematic. So that's Rav Sheshet's conclusion is, can't drink the urine of the donkey because it's being expelled by a tamei, and that's enough to make it a problematic. V'gadamre, some say susim goyim lokam yibaylo utolo shatu inche, something we don't drink. People don't drink the urine of horses and camels, kigmailu de chamor de shatu enche. That there, the urine of the donkeys they drank, umalu le yurkona, because it was medicinal, it was good for jaundice. I don't know how it worked exactly, if when you told them they had to drink the urine of the donkey, they got better right away, so they didn't have to drink it, or they actually had to drink it before they got better. So my, so amar lo Rav Sheshet Tinitua, yotze min ha-tamei tamei, yotze min ha-tor ha-tor, v'hani nami, mit tamei ka'ati. Even though dalav mi gufei mi matzah nasire, so here since it comes out of the body, it's expelled by the body. That's it, no good. So meitavei mipnei ma amru dvash dvorim mutar. How can you eat honey? Honey is expelled by the body of the bees, and if that's a yotzei min atamei, if you're telling me the urine out of a chamor is problematic, then certainly the dvash of the bees is going to be problematic. Bnei shemachnisot otan gufo ve'im matzot otan migufan, because it's basically a straight in and out. They go to the flowers, they take the nectar of the flowers, and that nectar is expelled from them, meaning that they don't do anything. It's not a part of their body. It never becomes a part of their body. It passes through their body without their body having any effect on it. Therefore, it's classified as being mutar. So he says, Hu damar k'Rabbi Yaakov. He goes like, Rabbi Yaakov, d'arma duvsha rachmana sharia. So Rav Sheshet has to hold like Rabbi Yaakov, because here, If you have the Dvash Dvorim being mutar, because it goes through their body and expelled by their body, that shows you that even when a Tameh expels something from its body, it's still considered to be Tahor. Here the bee expelled something from its body and we're saying it's fine. It didn't process it, fine. So that's like the Chamor, it didn't process it, it's expelling it, should be Tahor. So the Gemara says, no, Rav Sheshet holds like Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov says the reason that Dvash is mutar is because you have Gzeret HaKatuv. Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov, Omer Achazet Tochlu Mikol Sheret Ha'Ov. Zeata ochel, viata ochel, sheretz of tamei. Sheretz of tamei, behejaktiv. What do you mean? What do you need sheretz of tamei? It's written straight out in the pasuk. You can't eat a sheretz of tamei. Ella, sheretz of tamei, iata ochel, vata ochel, mashe of tamei, mashritz. You're allowed to take what the of tamei is mashritz. Veze ze, dvash dvorim. What is this? This is the dvash dvorim. So there he has a gzeret katuv that tells you that dvash dvorim is an exception to the rule. So even though it's being expelled by a tamei, and anything expelled by a tamei will be tamei, there's one exception to the rule from this limud by achet ze tochlu, because sheretz ha'ov, teaching you that sheretz ha'ov tahor is good, sheretz ha'ov tamei is problematic. We know sheretz ha'ov tamei is problematic. Oh, it's come to teach you. Only sheretz ha'ov is here is problematic, but what it expels is fine. So what it expels is fine, that's called dvash dvorim. Yochol avda dvash hagazin v'atzirin. I would think also the honey of gazin is some form of locust. V'atzirin. Rashi says it's another form of locust. The translation usually of atzira is a hornet or a wasp. Something to that effect. So maybe over there they should also be. They're tamei, but they're expelling something. So maybe it should be kasher. Amar tlo. No, over there no good. So why do you include the honey of bees? That's fine, and the honey of these hornets and locusts are no good. Because that's called dvash. Period. Because they're called dvash gazim and dvash tzirim. It's not called dvash. Or who's the author of this braita? Dvash gazim v'tzirim tahor umutar ba'achila. Dvash is tahor, it's not mekabel tuma, you have to be makshivit in order for it to be ochel, but it's still mutar ba'achila. Look, Rabbi Yaakov. It's not like Rabbi Yaakov, because Rabbi Yaakov just said that when it comes to dvash gazim v'tzirim, you can't eat it. The fact that here you can eat dvash gazim v'tzirim must be like the author before that we saw in the braita. It's not processed by their body. Since it goes straight in and out, the same will be true by the tzirin, the gazin and the tzirin, as is by the dvora. So that's true according to that Tana. But according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's only true by the dvash dvorim, because that's dvash without a shem levai. It's called plain dvash, not called dvash gazim v'tzirim. So when it says tahor, alma by machshava. The fact that you say it's tahor means that you have to be machshivit to make it into ochel. So Tani Nami Yochi, we have a braita that supports that position, that when it comes to dvash dvorim, dvash vikav arato, tamei tumat ochlim. Honey that is found in a comb, in a honeycomb, that is matamei tumat ochlim. Shelo b'machshava. You don't have to have any machshava there. There it's automatically ochel, and it's mekabel tumah. So what do you see from that? It was in dvash vikav arato. It was only honey in a honeycomb. Honeycombs are only true for bees. So therefore, only bees honey is automatically considered ochel. Dvash, gazim, and sirim, even though it's mutar to eat it, it's still tahor because people don't generally eat it. And until you're makshivit for ochel, it's not considered to be an ochel. So the Gemara says, I have a braita that supports this understanding that the dvash, gazim, and sirim, even though it's mutar ba'achila, does require makshavo in order to make it into ochel because it's not normally eaten. Now, chali, tiyach murta. So these are some sort of white, hardened, ball-like substances that were being expelled by the fallow deer. So Sarah Rabbanan, the Rabbanan thought the Meimar Beininhu, that they were actually a product or a part of the deer itself. They thought they were eggs. Vasiran. And they wanted to be aser them because here you have something that's coming out of the body of the deer. It's expelling a part of its body. And therefore, we can't eat it. Amar of Safra. Safra says, no, you don't understand. It's not a part of their body. Zara dayalohu. It's really the semen of the male deer. Dazar batal aryeloto, because it chases after the doe, the female deer. But since its womb is so tight, lo mizdakaga, he's unable or unsuccessful at mating with her. So he chases after the fallow deer, which is a similar species, so he's looking for a female. Vinatre, and then he expels the semen into this yachmaruta. So the question of why it is now hardened is either because Yachmaruta is not a natural mating partner for the ayala, for the deer, and therefore when he expels the semen in there, there's a large amount of semen, and it's not accepted by the womb of the Yachmaruta, and it hardens, and then the Yachmaruta expels it, and that's this Chali de Yachmaruta. Or the others that suggest, like the Rabbeinu Gershom, that the male, because it was rejected by the female deer, and it's held onto the semen for so long, that the semen has begun to harden even in the male side. And then when he deposits into the female, already is in a state where it hardens, it will not be collate, it will not go into the womb, and then it hardens further and is expelled by the female. But here, the answer being that, the fact that it is expelled by the female is not because it's a part of its body. It's a problem of Iver Min Achai, because that's what we would have thought. If it was eggs or something that was a derivative of the body of the Yachmaruta, it would have been Iver Min Achai, you can't eat it. The answer is no. It's an outside object in the animal. It's from the zera, it's from the semen of the male, and therefore they're not problematic. They're not an issue in terms of being not kosher, because they're not a derivative of the animal itself. They're just a liquid. And the liquids we saw before, the liquids are fine, not maybe by a tamei, but at least by a tahor, the liquids would be fine. Over here, in these chalei de yachmurta, therefore, are not problematic in terms of eating them. Am Rav Huna, or haba keneged panav shel chamor mutar. The placenta in which the chamor is born, that's opposite its face, is mutar. My taima. Pirsha ba'almahu, because it's not really anything real. It's not skin, it's not basar, it's not a part of the chamor itself. Since it's just waste of the chamor, does not take on the status of the chamor, and it's mutar to eat it. So I'm a leader of Chista, Tanya de Misayloch, I have a braita that supports your position. Or Abba Keneged Panav Shel Adam, that the or, that placenta that comes out with the human being, ben chai, ben mate, whether alive or dead, tahor. That is good, it's tahor. It's not considered to be problematic. My love. So wait a minute, what does it mean, ben chai u ben mate over here? So now we have a girsa here in our Gemara that follows the girsa of Tosafot. Rashi has an alternative girsa over here. We'll work with the girsa that we have, which is the girsa of the Gemara, and we'll explain it according to Tosafot, and then we'll explain what Rashi teaches the girsa. So now the Gemara says, this braita helps out this position of Rav Huna, that's what Rav Chazisha is suggesting, because how are we going to explain, my la ben hu chai v'imo chaya, ben hu mate, v'imo meita. It makes no difference whether, when we say chai or mate, it means whether the child that is born is alive, and the mother is still alive. Ben hu mate, whether the child is born here was a stillborn, v'imo meita, and its mother died. So over here, you either have both of them alive, or both of them dead. So in that case, that shows you that we don't believe that this placenta belongs to the vlad, and it doesn't belong to the mother. It's not a derivative of either of them. Had it been a derivative of either of them, then it would have been problematic, because the mother died and the child died over here. So they're both tmeim. They're both tmeim, and now this placenta gets expelled. It's irrelevant who it belongs to, whether it belongs to the child or the mother. In either case, whatever you have here, this placenta should be tamei. The fact that we're saying that this placenta is not problematic and remains tahor shows you that it's not considered to be a derivative of the mother or the child. So based on that understanding of ben chai u ben mate, that would suggest that this braita supports that position that Rav Huna brought before. When it says, no, you don't have to read it this way. Ben hu chai vi mo meita. The case is whether the child was born and his mother passed away. Ben hu mate, whether the child passed away, vi mo chaya, and his mother is still alive. So in that case, you don't have any proof from here, because here, one of the animals is still alive, and that's what Tosafot said. Shavar bar ben shnehem. The or belongs to both of them. Mina aim, umina vlad. It belongs both to the mother and the child. Fikach tahor, therefore tahor achimotu shnehem until both of them die. So in the first case, when we explained the braita, we said they both died. Since they both died, now it's for sure that this placenta would have been tamei. The fact that it's not proves that it's pirsha v'alma. That's just waste, and it's not classified or attached to either one of them. But now the Gemara now goes and re-explains the braita and says, no, it's not a case where they both died or they both were alive. It's a case where one died and the other one is alive. Either one. Doesn't matter whether it's the mother or the child. One of them's dead and one of them's alive. In that instant, the placenta is considered to be tahor, as Tosafot explains, because the placenta is a derivative of the mother and the child. So as long as one of them is alive, we will attach or assign the placenta to the live being. And the live being, if it expels something, is not considered to be tamei. Because that's basar yotzei min achai. Basar yotzei min achai is not mitamei. And that's why it's tahor over here. But that would not be a proof to Rav Huna, because we're talking about that we have no proof to Rav Huna, the case that it belongs to neither of them. says, Vatanya, we have a Braita, Ben Huchai Vimo Chaya, Ben Humeit Vimo Meita, an explicit Braita that says exactly the way we were trying to explain the Braita. So he says, Itanya, Tanya. So now it really is a proof. So that's Ravuna says back to Bechista, if the Braita really says that it's whether it's both are alive or both are dead, the placenta is Tahor, then it does support my position, because if they're both dead and the placenta is considered to be Tahor, that shows you it belongs to neither of them, like what I'm trying to say by the Chamor. That's the girsa of the Tosafot. Rashi's girsa is that when the Gemara rejects the Havamina, that we're talking about both of them alive or both of them Torah, it says, Lo, Ben Huchai Bimo Chaya. He reads it that whether the child's alive and the mother is still alive, Ben Humeit Bimo Chaya, or whether the child died and the mother is still alive. According to Rashi, the mother's alive in both cases, because the placenta belongs to the mother. And therefore, as long as the mother's alive, it's irrelevant what happens to the child or the offspring. The child that is born, whether it's alive or dead, has no impact on the placenta, because the placenta is considered to be the mother's realm. Therefore, as long as the mother is alive, then there's no problem. So that's what the Gemara tried to reject the Braita as being approved to Ravuna with, by saying, no, the case here is that Chai and Meit is referencing the Ubar, the child that is born, not the mother. But with regards to the mother, the mother's always alive. As long as the mother's alive, then it's classified to be Tahor, because it's a derivative of the mother, and then it's not a problem. Briar comes in the end and says, no, but Atanya, we have a Braita that explicitly says it's a case where both the mother and the child are alive, or the mother and child are dead. The case where both the mother and child are dead, then it's clear, even if it belongs to the mother, that here it would have to be Tamei. The fact that it's not shows you that it's Pirsha Ba'alma, and that would be a support to the position of Rav Huna. Right now we have a Mishnah. Dag Tamei, Shibala Dag Tohor. A non-kosher fish that swallows a kosher fish. Mutar ba'achila. It's mutar to eat it, not the non-kosher fish, but when you open up the non-kosher fish, the kosher fish inside is considered to be kosher to eat. Tahor shabala dag tameh, the other way around, where you have a tahor that swallowed a dag tameh, asur ba'achila. The dag tameh, and when you open up the kosher fish, inside is a problematic non-kosher fish, you can't eat it. Fish eino gidulo. Because they are not derivatives of each other. The fish that is found inside was swallowed, it did not grow up. It's not a product of the fish that is hosting the other fish. So taima de chazine de bolo. So our Mishnah seems to suggest the only reason that it is tahor here is because we saw it get swallowed. Halo chazine de bolo. If we did not see it be swallowed up, amrei ashrutzei ashritz, then we would assume that the non-kosher fish produced this kosher fish inside of it. Minolon. How do we know that's true? De tanya, we have a braita, dag tamei mashritz, dag tahor matil beitzim. Kosher fish lay eggs. Non-kosher fish carry live offspring, like animals, like behemot, like mammals. Now, truthfully, the Gemara of Odizara amends this to read and says both non-kosher fish and kosher fish lay eggs. It's a question of where they lay the eggs. Kosher fish lay eggs outside of their body, and the non-kosher fish lay their eggs or produce their eggs and keep them inside of their body. So in the end, that wouldn't be such a good proof to what we're suggesting over here. But nevertheless, our assumption here is that a dag tamei can produce something inside of it. So, iochi, that's the case, ki chazina de bala, even we see it swallowed up, why do you use it kosher? Why don't we say, hai ikula, vayishrutzei ashritz. Maybe the first fish that went in, he digested. And now what's found inside of him is the product of that digestion. He created a new fish inside of him, and that is the offspring of gibula of shalitamei. So you're suggesting over here that a non-kosher fish can bring up a live fish inside of it, produce an offspring inside of it. So that's why only when you see it swallow the kosher fish can you eat what's inside of it. Because otherwise we'll assume that it's a fish that is being produced by the tamei. And I says, well, if that's the case, then even when you see it, it shouldn't be good enough. When you see it go in, you have no idea what happens inside. Inside it might have digested that fish, and now it produced its own fish. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Kigon Shenimtza Derech Harei. Now it's found in its digestive tract. Since it's found in the digestive tract, if it's producing that fish, it doesn't produce fish in its digestive tract. Digestive tract suggests that it's been swallowed. Papa Mark Gonshimatso Derech Beitablia. I found it in the throat, in the area where it swallows, and therefore since it was in that part of the body, which doesn't relate to the reproductive system, of course, it wasn't produced by this fish. Nachaman Kamoshimatso Shalim. Find a whole fish. If it's producing a fish, it would be growing up. It wouldn't be full size yet. It wouldn't have reached full maturity. It wouldn't have been intact. The fact that you find it intact inside of it indicates already that it was from the outside. Rashi Amar, Rov Dagim Biminam Mashritzim. Rashi says we have a rov here. The rov is that most fish produce fish that look like themselves. Ukumisha Balofanab Dami. Therefore, if you find a kosher fish inside of it, it's as if we saw the kosher fish go in there. You don't literally have to see it. Here he says, Rubo Kikulo. Therefore, since rov are only producing their own kind, And over here we're finding something that's different than the fish. It must be that it came from the outside. But over here, it's interesting, Rav Ashi looks at robe over here, kevadai. That the robe, when we say that the robe is like this, we're saying it's badai like this. It's so badai, it's as if you saw it. It's not on sade that you saw the fish go in, because the fact that you found a kosher fish inside here, which is not the normal situation, a la robe, it only produces its own type. Therefore, we must assume it's badai that it swallowed it. It's badai, it swallowed it, you can eat the fish. And as Tos would said, v'hilchotok Rav Ashi. The loch is like Rav Ashi. Tu Batra, because he's the latter, the leader of all of these Amuraim, and he states the fact that it's not found in some part of the fish, which indicates to us that if we saw it swallow it, that would have been fine, but rather, it's the conclusion that a la rov, you don't find kosher fish inside of non-kosher fish, and that makes it a vadai that he must have swallowed it, and therefore you can eat it. And Tosfos brings an example, Yesh ha'tiro ton dagim shekarin mardosh, ha'nimtza b'toch dach blina. Even though we don't see it, this non-kosher fish that swallows a kosher fish, you can eat it. Now he says, why don't we ask on our Mishnah that says that Dagtame Shabalat Dagtahor, the Rav Sheshet. Sheshet said before that the chamor that urinates, the urine that is expelled is tameh, because it's a yotze mina tameh. Why don't we say over here that this fish that here is also a yotze mina tameh? It's a Dagtahor inside of the Dagtame, it's a yotze mina tameh. It's a yotze mina tameh, then you should be problematic. And Tosfos over here says, lo dami, you're not completely chado, dematita no ariela nimtza tocho dagtor. First of all, Tosfos says, the difference in the case. In the case of the chamor, he expels the urine from his body. In our case, in the Mishnah, they cut open the dagtame, they found the dagtor inside. So it was never really expelled from the body of the tame. That's one. Number two is, vafil yotzo. Even if the fish was expelled, even if the non-kosher fish was expelled from the body of the, even if the kosher fish was expelled from the body of the non-kosher fish, it would still be okay. Because it's clear by fish, it went in as a fish and it came out as a fish. It was nothing got changed. There's no change in this whatsoever. You had a whole fish go in, a whole fish comes out. That's not true by the urine. By the urine, it was processed by the animal. It was affected by the animal. We know that it was processed. The Gemara even thinks that it has derivative of the animal itself, and therefore, urine is going to be problematic, but even according to Rav Sheshet, a dag tameh that swallows a dag tahor is found inside or is expelled by the dag tameh will not be problematic. Okay, we'll stop over here.